called a Sparrow's Alarm. I watched the sparrow make his way through the fire and the smoke. The ashes ascended higher than he would ever fly. It was the last image we would see as we choked on tears and sweat. Blink them away, these constant reminders of fear. Retreat now from our familiar surroundings of death, happiness, and devastation. Thanks.
Thank you, Ken. Next up, we have Simon Aronson.
Apologies, 70. Right, two short ones, both untitled. First one. In this universe, the parallel deluxe, people are replaced by prunes. No bloody conversation, all death as desiccated plums. Communication through telepathy without words. Brother, it burns the flaming fantasies of fruit. Thank you. And the second one, constipation. Not the normal missing the usual time. Pernicious bloating, building bricks too large for the stomach space. No Senecot natural path to treat this monster, a serpent ball jammed tight. The super laxative takes 4 hours to work, so be prepared. Taught as a jockey risen above the saddle, expectant, hoping this torment will... relief. Omnipotent as St. Patrick, expelling snakes from the digestive tract. Thank you.
Right, thank you, Simon. Next up we have Garrett Fleming. Garrett?
Very low.
Sorry.
How are you doing? This is untitled. The rock, it flew extremely quick. It hit my head and made me sick. Through a wave of dizziness, I puked up and made a mess. Now I sit here, melancholy, on a worn out A&E trolley.
Thank you, Garrett. Next, we have Hazel Newton. Is Hazel in the house?
Ash-faced dancer, beasting lips, bastard phrases born of ill-matched concepts, grammarian's nightmare. And mercurial by nature, he decided to jazz up his favourite trousers with a few safety pins. Later, when she ripped his flies open, emptying every follicle on the way, he sang soprano.
Thank you, Hazel. Next up, we have Rab Urquhart.
Untitled. I looked in the window of the ward. Out of 50 beds, one was occupied. Round the corner, people were lying on trolleys in their own vomit and shit. At the press conference, the hospital director described the situation as egregious. I questioned him to the identity of the lone patient in the brand new ward. Gad, Paul Gad, better known as Gary Glitter, a As to the question of he got the first bed in a brand new children's ward, that is indeed a conundrum.
Thank you, Rob. And next we have Cathy Neville Doon.
Gazing. Dereliction, done to dust, rust now with grip, the ship shape long gone from the low house. The skip and jump of the heifer, the only reminder of youth. Doomed to slow death here, kinder now to put her down than leave her to do life alone on the island. A wife in pain, the shout gone out of her, and he gazing deep down the 6 foot to his bed in the cut of the bog.
Cathy, and next we have Rosie O'Regan.
Now this one's called Jacob. The last thing he said was, "On your saddle," then fixed his eyes on the wall, all standoffish, almost stoic in the incandescent light. At first, I thought he was joking, but the silence stayed, and the more I tried to map it, the more lost I became. His face that I had known so well became an unmoving conundrum, my inner world frantic.
It's Rosie. Next we have Joe Sweeney.
It's called... No, the five words were rattle, hum, telescope, wall, and tide. And I entitled it Silence. It's important to hear what's going on. Through the wall, I hear the murmur of the neighbors talking. Through an open window, the hum of their central heating, a rattle as they close their gate. I can hear the sing-song of children down the street. Through a telescope from an upstairs window, I can see far off the sea and a great tide coming. But I cannot hear anything. I need to hear what's going on to feel safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. And next on the list, we have Niall Herriot.
Two short ones. Dreamtime in the Outback. After knocking back another tube of Foster's, the bush coat hiccuped, swatted away the flies, wiped the sweat from his brow, said, "No worries, Mike," and jotted down a number of words on bog roll stationery about the permeable nature of the dimensions as felt by the original people. And the other one is the lowdown on orgasms. This is because safe sex cannot be practiced on chandeliers, whatever you prefer. Orgasms are best achieved on a garden swing, telegraphing or texting.
Ow!
But you are coming.
Ow.
But beforehand, keep all this under your hat and don't get too feckin' parlatic.
Thank you, Niall. And I'm going to call on Alfred McGinchy.
lot of things happen when the weather gets warmer. It's our nature to drop our guard along with our coats and scarves. Think back to last summer, hitchhiking through those villages in Montevideo, women lifting the hair from their napes, allowing for breezes and spontaneous kisses from their lovers. And remember those women who fought like feral cats over an aluminium hubcap robbed from a Fiat, mauled and scratched until they drew blood? I blame the weather.
Thank you, Afric. Next, could we please ask John W. Sexton? Mike.
All along the increasing, lessening slaney, in the shadows of the cows coming down the meadow for the milking, is a map of the many dark futures of their calves. The snow is long melted in the many parts of the rushy ground by the edges near the river. The snow is already melted in the lessening futures of the calves. Suk, suk, suk is lost in the past, in the futures. Even the cheeses approving in the dark are not solid enough to hold any memory. Only in the shadows of the cows coming down the meadow for the milking is a map of our many dark futures.
Thanks, John. Next, we have John McNally. Is he there?
So the five words are gold, quasi-diageo, culture, and brutal. And it's quasi-diageo culture. To Arthur, me bollocks, it's advertising gold. The hold of the bleeding country, selling out their liver souls. A quasi-diageo holiday, celebrating piss and vomit and shit. And go on, you whore, Christy Moore, he's having a feckin' fit. He is, you know, he is, you know, he is, you know. Anyone for the last few pints there now? It's a heritage, you know, and it gives musicians employment. But so does this culture night, but providing much, much more enjoyment. Like Paddy's Day, the brutal hordes and rakes of pints they gorge. You wouldn't find it in Crosshaven. That's right, you wouldn't, George. So if next week you find yourself out upon the town, step lightly over the rivulets, knock Obama and Lizzie's crown. Go home to your bed, don't wreck your head, and safely in your cot. I'm not saying join the pioneers, just the Arthur's Day boycott.
Thank you, John. Next, could we please call on Michael Ray?
A date with twilight. My accomplice, the anchor, found soft ground in her rhythms. The fruit in her basket, too ripe to be plundered. Controlling the sway of the walls in these small hours, I grapple with clips and the wisdom of zippers. Find her decks all awash with an apricot moon and the skirt of the sky flashing red, lacing knickers.
Nice reading.
Fairly short, so I'll do two quickies. But here goes. These are Delatropes. She's a paralytic, acrobatic nymphomaniac. She is swinging with abandon and even no aphrodisiac. She sports a wide brimmed smile and a wide leg stride at that. She promotes being orgasmic, sipping absinthe from her hat. She's a telekinetic, telegraphic, touchy technocrat. She sends text messages on Twitter that will titillate with fruity tact. But beware when she's finished sipping absinthe by the vat. You may find her paralytic in coitus interruptus anticlimax. boat, a little typo here and there. Dad shouted, "Quick, get the parasol. The boat has been bloated once more. Fred Curl has vomited up the Guinness cordial again. Or was it the Crin de Cassis? And the Ajax glitters in the mica schist. Bella Ronan, the head chef in general, protruded a turgid neck to the kitchen window. You will have to send for the department to put the run on him. His egregious omissions are no longer in remission. A conundrum who beats to the rhythm of his own drums and its certain confounder for the humdrum. Fred Curl has hurled once more and disturbed the counter's rhythm encore with a new patterned coloured installation reflecting the stars outside the bar door. Another fireworks display. La dernière bouquet, as the French say." That's it.
And Michael O'Callaghan. Last August, we sat here, a couple of bousy students came in and shouted, "Sex!" That was the first word, followed by dildo, followed by Catholic, forensic, and framed. Welcome to my fruit garden. At this time of year, it's a positive effusion of scent and form, the flash of flowers amidst a thousand shades of green. For those of you with Catholic tastes, my herb garden should please. The fennel is so flavorous, and the dill, though, is my favorite. Thyme and parsley growing in frames. See the chives, they're framed too. Where cucumbers flower and bud, with a little forensic knowledge, one can discern their sex. And afterwards, allow me to invite you to a positive orgy of fresh fruits from my delightful little orchard.